we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, it is my pleasure to be here. It is 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am live worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm excited. It's football kickoff Sunday. Something like the regular season for the NFL starts today. I know college teams were playing yesterday, and the reason I can tell is because it's all in my social media feed, and it's all over the town. Everybody's decked out in their Kansas City Chiefs gear. It's a thing all of a sudden. It was nice and quiet for a while, and now all of a sudden it's back. Here's football season again, and I'm as excited about that as I am anything that I have absolutely no control over, no vested interest in, and only mildly pay any attention to from sort of a analytical way looking at it in terms of the sport and what the actual activity of hosting NFL football live on television and the people that get involved in it and why they get involved in it, more along those lines than any particular interest in seeing a team win or any particular individual on the team be successful, as it were, because I couldn't even probably name anybody anymore. There was a time when you mentioned the quarterback of such and such a team, I knew that was quarterback of such and such a team, but it's been a long time since that happened. But I see everybody else is still around and still very happy about the fact that football season is here, and so more power to them. And I'll try to watch a game or two. I'm looking forward to Monday night, I guess, tomorrow night, because there's a Broncos game tomorrow night. It's, you know, Monday night football. It's Seattle, which I think that's a big deal, because while I don't know a lot about what's going on in the world of football, I do believe that the Broncos quarterback is a former Seattle quarterback. I do believe that that's true. So that should be an interesting little matchup. It's always fun to see those former star players of a particular team go up against their other team, their old team, and win against them or lose, as it will be. I guess we will see tomorrow. Go to towardanarchy.com if you want to follow along with me today. It's September 11th, so it's been 21 years now. I could sit here and talk all day real easily about 9/11 and the questions that surround it and people who are involved in it and peripherally and as activists, and question all of really just the narrative that's been given to us about it. But I don't want to do that. I think that I have said all that I care to say really ever about 9/11 itself. Was it last year that I had Fran Schur on the show, and we talked about the psychology of 9/11 and why people might not be inclined or might be inclined to believe in conspiracy, if you will. I'm doing quotes when I say conspiracy. The problem with 9/11 is that there are people on every side of the issue. There's people who believe that there's conspiracy, and we all fall somewhere in this. You either believe that there's a conspiracy surrounding 9/11, or there's not, and that what we've been told is exactly what happened that day. And then there's reasonable people who don't pretend to know. I fall into that category. I don't pretend to know. I have all the same questions. I know the pictures. I know about the Israeli art students and the dancing Israelis and $2.3 trillion and connections to Bin Laden and these memos of the White House about potential attacks. And so if your question is, was 9/11 an inside job? Well, yeah, sure. But what do you mean by inside job? Do you mean that the president and the office of the president, members within it, were actively involved in attacking the United States? Did they pretend not to know and just sort of let it happen? I think I'd probably fall right there in that category, that they sort of knew something, if not some very specific details, and they let it happen. And everyone, I believe, for their own different reasons, I suppose, that's still a conspiracy. That's still conspiracy. That still leaves open the honest questions of put options on the airlines involved exploding 600% over the weeks leading up to it. It's not that I don't know about September 11th. It's not that I don't have my questions about it. It's more that it's obvious everybody else still does, and everybody else still wants to talk about it in terms of pointing fingers, and they want to point the finger. It's left and right. It's one of the great issues that exposes the futility, the utility of the left versus right paradigm, because it crosses those borders. It does all of the race, political affiliation, favorite comedian. It doesn't matter what it is. 9/11, certainly anybody that was alive at the time has some opinion about it, has a place in it, and an understanding, or their own understanding of the events that day. And they're all completely valid in terms of the simple fact that we don't know. Again, I fall in that category, the truthful, honest category of the person who is not pretending to know. I don't pretend to know what happened on 9/11. I watched it live on TV. I know what I think I saw. I know what I heard. I know what the facts say. I know what the science says, but I still don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't pretend to know. And I think that that's an important distinction to make when we're talking about such divisive issues, such relatively, certainly at the time, important issues. Again, I call 9/11 a non-issue. It's nothing anymore. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And it really didn't mean anything in a short period of time after it happened, because the truth is that it doesn't matter why it happened or how it happened exactly in any sense, because what's important is what the government, what the people in power used it for, what they ultimately used, directed their energy, the facts of it, the twisted facts of 9/11, Iraq and the Middle East and pipelines and clash of cultures. I don't know that you know all these things. I'm throwing all of these bullet points, I guess. If somebody goes back and listens to this and you look up the individual bullet points, it's going to send you down a very interesting path, looking at the various aspects and questions surrounding 9/11. But it's true, and you have to accept this, that whatever it was, it happened, and it was used as a pretext for taking away liberty. America is not what it should be now. It's not what it was 21 years ago, let alone 22 years ago, let alone 40 years ago. And I can speak to this personally, having had experiences with the system and different aspects of the system. I'm talking about the political and the judicial system in particular, the ones that when we talk about, we bump up against the system, we have a problem with the system. That's what we're talking about. The politicians who rob us and the legal system that they use to bind us to the and to justify and to get away with the theft that they are taking part in. That is the truth. That is the truth of 9/11. That is the truth of every state conspiracy. It doesn't matter what happened. It just doesn't matter why they happened. Finding that out is never going to change anything, especially when you're talking 20, 30, 40 years down the road, when all of the people that are involved are dead. There's no, who's going to pay for it? So why still be approaching that concept, that conversation, from a point of trying to point fingers or trying to blame, when what you should be talking about is, well, 9/11 happened, and for whatever reason, it was used to bring in the TSA, and it was used to curtail our liberties and to put cameras on every street corner and to lock down the financial system, to limit people's transactions with their wealth and to track people's transactions across the board, and to find more ways to increase the push to make us all more dependent on their political and financial system that they have ruined, robbed, and completely left us out here in the cold. When if you watch, some of them get eaten. I have to laugh all the time. They eat themselves, these politicians and these bankers and these scumbags that are a part of this grand conspiracy. They're taking place in it every single day. They're robbing the nation. They're robbing the world and waging war on the citizens of the world. In the citizens of America, if your worldview is a little bit smaller, go USA, woohoo! People all over the world are being oppressed by the same system, and we suffer the same problem in spending a lot of time pointing fingers, showing up to vote, trying to change the people and the pieces of paper, when the system itself is the problem, and that if it allowed for change, then it wouldn't be the troubled problem system that we're having to deal with. Yeah. So what do? You go on with your life. You enjoy the football games if that's what you like. You build some Lego sets with your son on a Sunday afternoon after your radio show. Yeah, I haven't mentioned I have a few new plastic friends. I'm always surrounded by some various plastic friends. They're not as prevalent as they once were. There's a few of them hanging around, but I put together just fantastic models. I love these Lego Speed Champion models, and I just picked one up. I guess it's been 2 weeks now. I've forgotten to mention these guys sitting here couple of times because, I guess we weren't on the weekend that they initially jumped up onto the table, and then the next weekend, there was things to talk about and catch up on, especially the technology thing. But these Speed Champions Lego sets, they're high piece count sets. They're really well done, and they're popular cars, including cars from pop culture as well as real cars, you know, sort of TV and movie cars, as well as just a regular Mustang or a Corvette or something like that. And they vary. The sets they have come in different sizes and shapes. This particular set, and the sets that I like to buy the most, are the small passenger cars. They're about $20 each. You know, something like a Supra or a Koenig or a Lamborghini. In this case, the one that I most recently built, it just popped up. I didn't know it was out there. I walk through the toy aisle every time I go into the store. And so it's new. It's brand new. It just popped up because I'm watching. I'm looking. And it's great because it's a smaller version of a set that they've already done in a larger piece count version that's really expensive. It's cost prohibitive for somebody who can't really justify going out and spending $100 or $200 or $300. I know people that do this $600, $700 on a Lego set. Sure, you get a lot of pieces and a lot of build out of it, but man, do you have that much time and money on your hands? Seriously? This little model that I'm holding now, fantastic. Wanted it forever in that bigger model, and so happy when I found it pop up on the shelf in the $20 price range, and almost a 300-piece count, 298 pieces to put it all together. So that's a really nice piece count. It's an Aston Martin DB5. And if you know what that is, somebody out there. Yeah. It's James Bond 007. It's the classic car used by James Bond. There's been a number of them over the years, but the original classic, the Aston Martin DB5, really great. Comes with a little James Bond figure too, as well. I suppose it's Sean Connery, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. he's too young to look like Sean Connery that really I'm familiar with. And then I had another plastic friend. This one's really cool. This took a year. We ordered this through the comic book shop through Diamond. And I have no idea why. There was never an explanation. No, it was never canceled on an order or nothing like that. But it was a year ago. They popped up on an order, haha, pop. It's a pop figure. And it came up on the order sheet, and there was two of them, and I ordered both of them, but I only received the one. It was John Nada and the alien. I don't know why they call it just an alien. I mean, I guess they're aliens. They're interdimensional beings. This is a particular one. You know the movie They Live with Roddy Piper? This particular alien is one of the first ones that Nada sees after finding the Hoffman lenses, because he stumbles on the newsstand, right? He's there looking at all the newsstand newspapers and magazines and books, and he's seeing how that when you have the Hoffman lenses on it, you see the subliminal messaging underneath: consume, stay dumb. Don't question authority. There's a bunch of different things that it said when you could actually see. We've got one who can see, and this is the rich guy who's buying a newspaper at the newsstand at the same time that Nada is up there, and he's the one that's he first hands the money over, and you see that it says, "This is your God" on it, and he asks Nada what his problem is, because he's staring at him so hard, because he's one of the first, if not the first. I've seen it in a while, so it's not that fresh in my memory, even though obviously I can rattle it off. I've just seen the movie a lot of times. It's just a really good movie, and the themes behind it are consistent with my I won't say my worldview about the way our system is, but it's certainly it definitely is a part of it, and there's a little bit of it there. We'll go into the break here. When we get back, I'll tell you who is on the show and what it's all about.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
You know, I've been doing this for years, not just here, but long before I came to RBN. I've been doing this thing, and you don't necessarily think about it. You just do what you do in the situation that you have, given the equipment that you have, the location, all of it. That's what you work with. You walk into a new studio or radio station, and you're expected to conform to the existing system, what's there, where the ultimate placement of the microphone is, and the board, and your computer, and just the various tools that you use to pull off your little broadcast there. And so you don't necessarily think about it at all. You don't necessarily give any thought to it until it becomes yours. And then you're, oh, well, I can put this here and I can put this there and this thing goes over there. Well, and you still don't, even when you do that, you still don't get to address every single little thing, every little thought. And you just, unless that, I guess there are people that are like that, that are going to just sort of sit there and nitpick at it. They're probably the same ones that pick at a scab and scab and just keep picking at it and just won't ever let it go. But maybe not. But you don't necessarily think about all of these things. And so something that seems so glaringly obvious after it happens is sort of hindsight sort of thing. And you look at something, you go, why didn't I see this before? Why wasn't it so obvious before? Why didn't I take advantage of this? And it happened last week on the show, all the various technical issues that I've been dealing with. I have my nice new TV, nice big new TV. I'm so happy. Found one really good price this last week here to replace the burned out one. And I guess I won't mess with the backlight on it anymore. But one of the problems I had is that they had a virus on the computer. And so I didn't want to connect to the network and any of that through that obviously virus system, or what appeared to have been a virus system. That's a whole nother story. At any rate, I was on the phone. I used my phone and I used the headset a headset microphone, and I had this freedom of movement that I didn't realize I was missing, that because of the fact that I'm sitting here and the microphone is relatively stationary, I'm all of my energy is being forced into this little box, into this little focal point, instead of being expressed. I remember in most of the studios that I worked, radio studios that I worked in over the years, that we stood. There were the tables, the board, everything was set up high enough that you stood. And I was able to move around quite a bit more and just sort of release that energy and get that feel. I'm that kind of person. I move around when I talk, and I'll pace back and forth when I'm talking on the phone. It annoys the hell out of my wife. I have the phone. I'm talking to my best friend, Dwayne, or whoever it happens to be, and I'm just pacing back and forth. But it's the energy. It's the passion, that's brought out in my wanting to, my ability to have a conversation with somebody. And I just didn't realize all these years that I, even when I stood at the microphone, that I was still pinned into this little focal point, and I couldn't reach around, move, and just feel free. I always had to be relatively pointed, my energy directed in that one direction, fine for what it was. But then last week I had popped the headset on, and I just felt a different movement and a different light to the way things are. So now I'm on the hunt for the ultimate combination of headset with that. I mean, I can continue to use my phone. My phone is fine. It's a great phone, and obviously it serves the purpose. But it was just a weird thing that you just don't realize about yourself, or realize what you're doing in your work, or just look at that from any point of your existence, whether it's your family life or your work life, or just this fun thing that you like to do on a Sunday afternoon. What is it that you haven't looked at that is keeping you from being the best you that you can be, putting forth the best effort, getting the most energy out of you? We just don't always look at those things. And then what do we do when we're not in particularly great health? Well, I guess that's a good question, because coming up here in just a minute, Dr. Dean Lloyd is going to join us. I will break out the telephone number here and we'll add him to the conversation. And we're going to talk about today. I'm interested in this conversation today. It's always great talking to Dr. Dean Lloyd. But the question of what our body is to us, and we're the Christians, many people across the network, you understand the idea of your body as a temple, but it can also be your prison. And we'll talk with Dr. Dean Lloyd about that. We'll add him to the conversation next on Toward Anarchy.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo. In so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
As always, there's plenty of stuff that I've shared for you there. Look for September 11th. If it's not right there from the front page, click on the episodes button up at the top there, and it will take you to a whole selection of all the shows that have been done and saved there, including the show that never existed. the page is there, but the show is not. Look for 2022, September 11th. You see Dr. Dean Lloyd is my guest. You click on that link, and when you get there, you'll see there's all sorts of fun stuff right there, links where you can find out more about Dr. Dean Lloyd and Evolving the Species, evolvingthespecies.com. It's the conversation that we have sort of once a month, has to do a bit with the book Cruising the Epiphany Highway, but just as much to do with ourselves and our own lives and the things that are going on with us and that we see around us and who we are. It, you know, it's really, truly just one of those freeing moments, I think, when you talk with somebody like Dr. Dean Lloyd, where he's just so open and just wants to really look for the best you in you and find that and encourage that in you, both in your physical and your mental health. And it's refreshing to talk to somebody like that, because you talk to so many people that just don't really give a damn about you and who you are, and they only need you for what they need you for. It's to show up between 8 and 5 and fill in a spot for, you know, that shift. If that's all it is, then that's all it is. And you realize that, no, you're just someone that fills that spot. That can be true in our personal relationships too. You feel like you're just the person that's filling that spot for your significant other, that you're not really particularly important to them, or you're just not on the same page. These are all the same things that they're all relative to each other. They're all the same things that we talk about, mastering yourself and mastering your relationships, and really it's, you got to have some fun with it, I think. This is my own problem right now. Would we come to the end of this period where there was all this upheaval in the business and this transitioning in the new building, and $250,000-$350,000 new comic books, and what to do with all of those books, and where do they all go? All these things that are happening with the internal struggles of the business, and it all plays out in the same sort of way, because in terms of thinking as I am about what you mean to somebody. So you do something, you together, you and a partner, whether it's a relationship, a business relationship, or a love relationship, or whatever it is, you do these things together, and you think that you're doing the right thing, that what you're doing this together, and you both want this, except that almost invariably when these things go wrong, there was a clue, there was something that a red flag that was waving vigorously back and forth, and it was the same in the business relationship, where it's sort of, here, this is not going to be good. You're ignoring this on purpose. Yoo-hoo, right over here, Mr. Red Flag. I'm waving, and you find out that you're just not that particularly important to the other individual, and so we run into those people so often throughout our day and throughout our lives. Again, it's refreshing to have a conversation with someone who genuinely cares and genuinely wants to hear your story, and to, if they can, offer you, if nothing more than just an ear. Because everybody wants to tell their story. You should be used to it in every conversation. Somebody tries to jump in the middle of the conversation, and you sort of start out, well, this happened to me, and oh yeah, well, that happened to me one time, and blah, 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 and they're off. You know that person. There's a lot of people. People just want to be heard, but you know, then maybe sometimes that kind voice, that person that cares, can lend a little advice or a little bit of help in a direction. And I think Dr. Dean Lloyd is really great at that. He's a facilitator and a healer. And so I like having him on every month, and we get to talk about these things. Are you there, Dr. Lloyd? Did we get you connected? I know you were.
We are connected and loud and clear, hopefully, on your end.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I just know you're sort of gallivanting around somewhere. You're not home, is that right?
Right, yeah. I do make trips. I'm one of the few doctors that still make house calls. You remember those days?
Right.
For what it's worth, there's some people that just cannot get treatment unless it is a house call. And I do make one or two times a month myself available for those patients. Because, let's face it, the world out there where you go to get healed, unless it's an emergency, you know, it's got to be a pretty comfortable place for them to relax and to let go and feel like they were being, you know, one, listened to and cared for. And my job, of course, is to make sense. And the reason I've been bringing up all these topics is because I've been told for years that I've been able to articulate what they've been feeling for a long time, but just never been able to pinpoint it. And when they do hear it, they go, "Oh, yes, that's what I mean." And I have a feeling that, you know, you follow a similar path, that you're looking into solutions where people are constantly complaining and not finding the way to what really health is about. Because there is really no such thing as perfect health. It's about balance. And it's why I brought up the topic with you today. Is your body a temple or a prison? And to start off with the topic, I wanted to refer back to Dr. Rosen's Cruising the Epiphany Highway book, and in page 9, at the top of the page, there is a topic, and it's a short one, but it's certainly loaded with a lot to talk about. It's called Temple or Prison. Your body is either your energy strata vehicle facilitating the mobile access of your awareness through the variously available mediums of maturity, or your body becomes a deadening weight, shackling your expectations in a prison of diminishing returns and strangulating pain. Now, with that, I just wanted to ask you rhetorically, of course you don't have to answer me, but which one are you? Are you treating your body like a temple or a prison?
Well, I can tell you quite literally.
Oh, you're going to answer me anyway.
Absolutely. Because when you first brought the topic up, this was one of the things that I thought, that we see extremes across the board. We see these people who are constantly sort of working on their body. That's all they do. And they're borderline sort of psychotic in their approach to their constant health, and then it's that they've made making themselves healthy and having a healthy body a prison. It's pretty amazing. And then of course there's the opposite end of that, which are the don't care, not doing anything, just sitting around getting larger and nastier and just and again stuck in a prison. And I'm neither one of those. I am somebody, I think, like most of us probably are, trying to live somewhere happily in the middle, trying to treat my body halfway decently so that it'll last me a little bit longer than the average one.
Okay, no, that's a good answer, and it brings up a very important point that I was going to bring up later, but it's certainly relevant to what you just mentioned, and that is people that go to extremes. And when you do this, when you're physically addicted, let's put it this way. There are people with addictive personalities. Do you know someone in your life that's like that?
Oh, yeah. I think that's all do.
Yeah, we do. But the physical side of things, it's an interesting topic, because once you reach a physical high and your body gets to that physical high, does it control you? Now, this is what it really does boil down to. It comes down to control. And where does control live? You know, is control something that your mind has told you? You have to be, you know, have to eat a certain way, pray a certain way, talk a certain way, you know, exercise a certain way. That's what I want to open the space for people, because control is where we can decide if it's time for us to exercise and how good we want to feel, because that's the other half of health. When you're imprisoned, with the point of course diminishing returns and strangulating pain. Pain is blocked energy. I've mentioned that in previous shows. All pain. I don't care if you have emotional blocks or if it's physical blocks. That's where the pain comes from. Now, personally, I don't like living in pain. I like to free up my circuits and to understand what's involved with the blocks that are in my body. So if I am dealing with a prison mentality, I am constantly locked into the paradigm where the physical body runs the show. And that is where we become mired down with painkillers, for example, or suppressing pain medications, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and so forth. And that means that you might have to be dependent, if you're in a severe pain healing crisis, on medications for the short term. But the way a naturopath thinks, and even mostly the way an Orienta medical doctor thinks, is we want to free up these blocks by the body's own natural mechanisms, its own natural abilities. So when I speak of the prison mentality, it's usually people that have not convinced themselves that they're empowered enough to break out of that paradigm of a sickness mentality or a sickness model. So, as I move into that, the other part of this is the beast, and that's the next little excerpt here, and it reads like this, because it goes perfectly into how I can offer you the state of mind that tells you when you're tripping yourself up, when you become captive of your own body. And this is a very, very big topic unto itself, but to broach the topic with some steps that you can make, I want to first clarify what we're talking about when we talk about the beast. The beast needs a good master. When you domesticate the beast, bring it into form in the wild, excuse me, almost had to sneeze there. I'm going to start over. Okay, I got it. It's still allergy season out here, but okay, so when you domesticate the beast, bring it in form, wild and tame it, and tame it, you need to direct its course of actions. You need to tell it when to sleep, where to defecate, and what to eat, because it is no longer solely guided by the cueing factors found in a natural environment. When you can manufacture concentrated extracts and complex combinations of chemical agents, you must direct the body in their utilization. The beast, your physical body, can and will adapt, but in and of itself, it doesn't know what to do with the exceptional substances. Now, we have some pretty amazing substances out there. Some of them are antioxidants. I'm sure the audience is quite aware of antioxidants like vitamin C, okay, and also from the macronutrient, vitamin C, and the micronutrient like hydrogen, another antioxidant. Now, part of our challenge in this culture right now to break free of the cage, the prison, we have to know how to and understand that there's a lot of substances out there, a lot of vitamins, herbs, there are liquid extracts, all kinds of things. And I've had people come into my clinic literally with a shopping bag full of things saying, well, Dr. Dean, this is good for my digestion, and this is good for my hair, and this is good for my libido, and on and on and on. And it's not directed. It's sloppy, and it's sure. Oftentimes very, just let's say, cheap ingredients. Just they're not good quality. So to understand what goes into your body and saying, oh, you know, I tried this ginkgo biloba, for example, and they said it would improve my memory. Well, Is it a good quality? Does it have the 24% of the effective ingredient in there that gives it the ability to signal the oxygen metabolism? Probably not, because 1 of 10, and this was a test done about 15 years ago, there was out of 10 of the ginkgo bilobas that were out there, just as an example, zero had that 24%, and the one that I use does. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about, quality. And there's so much right now, especially because people are afraid they're going to get some, you know, life-threatening virus or some disease that's going to take them out. They're grasping, and unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of just mislabeling. How should we, you know, we can say that there's a lot of, you know, hucksters out there, and they have doctor before their name, unfortunately, and I'll be the first one to call them out on it, and they will not be legitimately selling good products. That's something to be aware of. Okay? There are some good, but I can't be in this particular segment or the show even discuss what those particulars are. What I'm wanting to do is bring into focus a directive, and that makes you clear to be able to pick and choose what is it that you need to free up your immune system or your mind so that you can use these substances intelligently.
How's that? I like that, because there is a lot of question about what is truly valuable and what isn't. I mean, at least with your sort of regular vitamins that most people are trying to take, you have some government regulation somewhere that makes them tell you exactly what's in it. So if you're a smart shopper, you can certainly find that. But you bring up ginkgo biloba, yeah, that stuff.
Biloba,
yeah, ginkgo biloba. Different supplements and things that we don't necessarily know what they are, and they're not, for whatever it's worth, FDA approved. They're not, if they don't have the right information. Well, I mean, obviously some people are going to take advantage of that. And that's just the surface. I mean, you're just talking about that sort of basic feed the body need. There's so much more to it than that when it comes to maintaining that body and mind place that keeps your body from being a prison, somewhere in that comfortable middle that I was talking about not being too much of a slave to the idea of keeping your body in great shape and not being just a complete motionless blob like a lot of us are these days. What are the most important key things in looking for some of those things?
It's the state of mind, Michael. And you brought up, you said some very kind words to me before we started, and I wanted to thank you for that. And it's nice to be seen. When someone knows that they're being offered the kind of information that they really do truly need, they are then able to, with the tools that tells them that, you know, maybe I agree with that, but I don't agree with that other piece that you're saying. We're constantly having to discern what is real and what isn't. And to put yourself in that state of empowerment, I wanted to give some tools on that topic today, because that's when you become the, you know, you honor the body that you were born with. And that brings me to the other quick excerpt, that you and the beast, and I'll just read that briefly. It's only a few lines. The first thing you were given when you come into this world was your body. The last thing you leave behind when you exit this world is your body. If you're married first to anything, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, for better or for worse, and I do wish you all the superlatives, it's your body. So we must respect the body as a temple. So let's just categorize the body to be respectful. And honor its, it needs to sleep, it needs to drink water, it needs to have proper nutrients and all of these things. And whatever affects you from the outside, the supplements you take, the nutrition you take, the water you drink, the air you breathe will affect you mentally. So in prison means also being toxic. And I will put in that it's a toxic mindset, because if you are in a constant state of I can never get free of my ability to choose how I live my life and how much energy I get, how much sleep I want. Look, I'm the first to admit that I can't do everything I want. But what I do have is the knowledge that tells me where I can direct my body. And that's very powerful. And I don't see that many of my, let's just say, in my profession that have that ability. In fact, I have one doctor who I thought was, you know, very well-rounded, and he's an MD, and he had for years taken a naturopathic path. And after a discussion with him some years ago, when I realized that he bought into his own trip, he started taking antidepressants. Mm. And I was amazed that he did this. Yes, because the load that he was on, he justified taking them, thinking that he was deficient in the chemical that would change.
How is this still a thing all these years later? Do people not realize that there is little or no correlation between antidepressants and being happy? In fact, they actually make it worse. Talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the SSRIs and the fact that they don't work and they never have, that they actually make things worse. And you'd say in a medical doctor, a smart guy, still fell for that trip, huh?
Well, it's because remember that if you buy your own trip, even though you may be doing some good things, you're still captive. He was imprisoned by his training. That's the key. But I didn't know that this was the case until there was the red flag, and I go, you know, I told him politely, I said, how have you come to this conclusion? And he says, well, it's genetic, you know, it's in my family, and he ran some tests and so forth. And there is a time and place for everything. I'm not disputing that there may
be
emergency.
You're just making me wince, because this is we're in trouble when the smart guys when the smart guys fall for it too, when they get suckered into it. It just tells you that it tells you a lot. I mean, if you really analyze it, it tells you a lot that one, those guys aren't as smart as they think they are. Two, their energy isn't properly directed, however you want to look at that. It's not properly directed because they haven't found the obvious in that. We're getting ready to come into the break here. Go ahead.
We'll segue into the benediction, and I'll go into that at the top of the hour after we come back. But you're absolutely right, is that these are subconscious patterns. Even though they are intellectually developed, I found that the more intellectually developed that you are, the greater the disparity, the greater the distance from your body becomes, because you justify or intellectually justify your actions from primitive feelings.
Oh, and this is a trope. This is an understood human thing. It's why the wizard, the magic professor, magic user, the guy with all the wisdom, studied and learned, is extremely weak, and because he ignores his body and ignores his health for the pursuit of his knowledge, the pursuit of his mind. This is a thing.
This is right, and this is why I want to bring to the attention that the imprisoned are those that are imprisoned by their mind. and I'll get to where we live, which is truly the balance of all.